Now playing in Los Angeles, exquisite food and drink, world-class art everywhere, spectacular sports, dazzling Hollywood attractions. L.A. offers the full variety of food scene, from game-changing taco trucks to 35 Michelin stars. And did you know that Los Angeles has more museums and theaters than New York City? Get your fix in music, film, comedy, and world-class museums. Plus, get behind the scenes in movie magic with a world-famous studio tour. That's something that should be on everyone's bucket list. Start here with discoverla.com. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Our producer, Sean, is a big Mint Mobile guy. Here's what he had to say.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no drop calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done. It was great.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally. And cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
What's up?
Ah!
How you doing, man?
I'm good. The tables have turned. Now you're in the hot seat, and I like it.
Not quite yet, buddy. I can turn it back anytime now.
I know. You know, you're better at this than I am. I need to learn from you. You're a pro.
But see, that's the thing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I've never figured out what I was doing. That's why I'm doing it. If I knew what I was doing, they wouldn't like me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Literally with Rob Lowe. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for being a part of this podcast. I mean, turns out we're kind of crushing it. And that is a function of you, not me. God only knows that is the truth. It's all you. But I really feel like we have like a family out there. Like we have a real fan base of people who just really get what we're trying to do. And I read all the comments. So if you're posting reviews on Apple, please do, because I read every one of them, and I learn a lot from them, and I'm learning how to make it better and better and better, but I'm glad you guys are loving it, and we have a really good one today. Very excited to get my sports freak on with one of the true Adonises on the planet, and one of the nicest guys. If I could bottle his work ethic, I would be the most successful man on the planet. Michael Strahan. We're going to talk to him. He is the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, multiple years, Super Bowl champion, 2008, against the undefeated New England Patriots, and literally is on every television show that's made. I mean, he's Mr. Good Morning America. He's got the $100,000 pyramids. It's enough already with all the stuff this guy's doing. So we talked to him a few weeks back, but I'm really happy to finally get this out for you guys to hear it, because it's a really fun conversation. So sit back and enjoy a really fun talk with a really great dude, Michael Strahan. Isn't it true how like ignorance is bliss? It really is.
Because you know what, when you go in and you don't know what to do, there you don't know what's right, what's wrong. You just go by instinct. And then people can relate to that. I hate it when people are trying to be too perfect.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody. So when you screw up, you flub a word, you do this, you do that, naturally, like on the news especially, I used to always be so worried. Make sure you say the word correctly. But you'll screw up in a conversation with somebody, and you'll automatically correct yourself. And I learned TV's the same way.
Did you have a news voice? I like that news voice you were just doing. It was good.
Well, I've had to develop one, Rob.
Yes, this is Michael Strahan.
This is Michael Strahan at ABC News.
Ooh, it's really good. It's buttery.
You know what I did? I don't think I have a news voice, but it's funny. I was at, I was probably somewhere that I shouldn't have been. I think I was at Krispy Kreme or something. Mm. And I ordered, and the girl said, boy, you have a news voice. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. Thank you very much. Made me feel good about myself.
I saw today a headline as I peruse the headlines every morning that there was some famous poll that said 57 is the age you're officially old. That's my age. And I will say that I'm talking to a NFL all-star, but I'm stiff when I wake up. What? You must be like the Tin Man.
You know what? Stiff when I wake up. I'm stiff when I'm sleeping. I wake up out of my sleep because the stiffness hurts so much.
Oh, good.
Much.
Me
That's
too.
How bad
Me too.
It is, man. And I don't know what it, you know what? It's so funny because I felt great. I'm 48 now, 15 years, retired at 36. I'm like, I feel great. Body's good. And working at Fox, Howie Long would always go, one day, Michael, you just wake up and shit just starts hurting. And I'm like, Howie, please, just shut up. Like, you're an old man. Be quiet.
Yeah, right.
He's right. He's right. The first, like, 2 years ago, I said, damn, Howie. Man, I woke up, my freaking knee is just killing me. And he just started laughing at me. And I'm going, you jinx me. But he's right. Now my back is hurt. I get twinges in my legs. I'm like, where's that coming from? My knee still hurts. I never had a knee problem when I played. I think age just gets you in my shoulder now, but 57, I got a little ways to go. But that's not old. That's old back in like 1900. It's 2020.
He's dead. 57. He's dead in 1900.
Yeah, you're dead in 1900. Like now, 57, you're just getting started. Look at you. You don't have a wrinkle on your face.
I actually do feel that way. I mean, I know I've never been in better physical shape, for sure, in spite of how it feels. And just in terms of my life and all of it, I wouldn't trade this year age for any year I've ever had in my life, well, for sure. So if this is what old is, you know, I'll take it, right?
Do you have a high-definition camera on your face right now?
That's a good technical question. You are a broadcaster.
Because that is, you don't have a wrinkle, man. You know they say black don't crack, but I argue with that point looking at you. That is non-cracking white guy right there.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I think I might. My dad's like that, though. One of my earliest memories of my father is back in the day in Ohio, we'd go to the county fairs, and they used to have guess your age and guess your weight booths. Mm-hmm. And we would clean up. They'd be like, you're 25. And then my dad would be like, no, I'm 40.
That's a good thing.
Just kill it.
That's how you compliment somebody on their age, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm this age. Like, they're mad that they're older. I'm like, take it while you can get it, because one day you're going to look your age. You're not going to like it.
So I was obsessed with the Michael Jordan documentary, Last Dance. I'm assuming you were, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Best thing on TV in a long time.
Oh.
It is like, wow. Michael Jordan had the attitude. The only closest guy to him was Kobe to me.
Totally.
And I love LeBron. I think LeBron is an incredible, this generation's Jordan, of course.
Yeah.
But the killer instinct and the guy who wants the ball in his hands every shot, or at least the last shot, or in the biggest crunch time, or who had a switch that nobody else had, nobody had like Michael Jordan. And you cannot be a nice guy. I mean, people talking about how mean he is. I'm like, I get it, because I had to be an asshole too at times.
And it's amazing because there's teammates, like pro teammates going, was he a nice guy? No. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know. Because like from where I stand, he's just a gnarly competitor.
Yeah. But I think there's a fine line to be a competitor and being, how could I put it? motivating, to being a good teammate, being, you get, it's a balance. And I think Michael leaned more towards the, I'm going to ride your ass until you get it done, instead of the, you know, everybody's a little different. Let me coddle this guy a little bit. Like, I knew it. When you play football, you got like 50 something guys.
Right.
It is so hard to get everybody on the same freaking page. Like, hey, we all, I got to motivate each guy in a different way if you're the leader of that team. So I can go to one guy and I got to scream at him, like, come on, let's go. And then I go over here, I look at Eli Manning, who's just sitting there like, you know?
Yo, yeah.
You can't yell at Eli. You got to just say like, no, yo.
Dude, you can't yell at Simple Jack.
No, you can't.
You can't yell at Simple Jack. You can't do it.
Unless you want to lose him, you'll lose Simple Jack real quick.
Yeah.
But that's what I learned, man. You just got to like motivate each person differently. A basketball team, I think, is a little different. You can win with two or three great guys. Football, I need like a special team, offense, defense, like everybody. But I think this has been one of the most fascinating documentaries. I could watch it over again and it would get me excited. And I've had to tape it and watch it like today,
yeah,
the morning.
Yep.
Because it gets me too amped up.
Yes. Yeah. So what is everybody saying about, like, I some of my greatest memories would be sitting with MJ and Ahmad, right? And those two are inseparable.
Yep.
Inseparable. Yep. And it always used to make me laugh at the end of games when Ahmad would play the journalist talking to Michael. And like, they're total homies. Like,
yep.
And it just, where they're like both playing a role, like Jordan's playing. It's like, it just, that dynamic used to make me laugh because they were so close. But what are people in the sports world saying about the doc?
But everybody loves it. Everybody loves it. Now I'm on a text chain with the defensive line from the Super Bowl back in 07.
Wow.
And everybody watches it. We always, we always talk about it. And the one thing that we all understand. We understand his mentality. And on our team, I probably was more like the Michael guy because I was older and I wasn't putting up in anybody's bullshit. You know, it was like, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm here to win. I don't have much time left.
Right.
I wish I had 1-6. I wish I was Tom Brady. But Brady's the same way. Like, Tom's the same way. And every team, I hate to say it, put it in these terms, but it's true. We always used to say, you got to have a few thugs on your team.
Yeah,
you can't
sure.
have a team of nice guys. I mean,
that's the Dodgers problem. I'm a big Dodgers fan.
Uh huh.
That's the problem with the Dodgers. They're all too nice. I love them, but they're too nice.
You got to have a few guys that'll just go slap somebody just for the hell of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just, why'd you do that? Just because your face is there. I don't know. Like, you got to have a few guys who have some dog in them. You can't all be nice guys. And that's how that team was. That's one thing every player we talk, they understand it. We've had the debate on our chain about who is the best player, GOAT.
Who? I mean, Jordan's the guy, right? Jordan and Kobe.
Yeah, Jordan. You know, and that's the thing. Kobe is as close to Jordan as we'll see.
Yep.
Mannerism, size, mentality, and I was friends with Kobe too, man. And that, like, even seeing those two and seeing Kobe. You know, last week, and I just got a reminder, friend sent me that like 2 years ago when I was with Kobe, a picture of us, and like, it makes you so happy that you knew him, but makes you so sad that, you know, he's not with us anymore. But what that all-star thing with him and Jordan, also you hear Jordan talking about that little Laker boy, that little Laker kid, he's not even letting the game come to him. He's taking it.
Yeah,
I was like, this is great. Like, this is stuff we would never see. And to know they've been sitting on that for 20 years.
Amazing. I mean, that whole, whenever you guys get mic'd up for a fan like me, it's the best. I mean, hearing, you know, whether it's Belichick talking shit or whatever it is, because you know the guys are talking, you can see it, you're watching the game and you see the mouths move, but you have no idea what's really being said. And I would love to see more mic'd up stuff going on. I would love
it. Yes, but sometimes you're being nice. Hey, how's your wife? How's your kid? How's your mom? You know? And then other times you're like, F your mom, F your wife, F your kids. It's crazy, man. All within, like, you just have guys who get along. You have guys who hate each other. It's the most insane thing to be on that field and hear some of the talking going. Because any place outside of that, it would literally be like, call the police. We're going to fight. Right. But it's amazing. That's one thing I do love about football, that if somebody has a problem, like if somebody did something illegal to me, I would tell them, I'm about to put you on the ground.
Yeah.
I would tell them. And for me, it was motivating to me because I didn't talk a lot of smack unless you basically talked it to me. And then the floodgates are open. And I don't care what I said. I don't care about your feelings at all. You meant nothing to me. And it was so funny because I remember a pregame speech, Super Bowl year, and Fox came. They had the executives or somebody, had one of the Giants people come and say, Michael, you know, you do the pregame stomp you out speech, blah, blah, blah. Can you not curse for like 15 seconds of it so that they can air it? And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get out of here. I'm not, hey, man, I don't care about the networks and who want to air what. I'm out here with you. We're trying to win a game. Get out of my face. And a lot of beeping goes on because I never knew what I was going to say in those speeches anyway. It just kind of just came out. And that was one of my favorite things. That's what you miss the most. I don't miss, like, I don't miss practice, of course. I don't miss getting beat up. You miss the guys. And you miss the crap talking. You miss the competition in a game, like the physicality of it, because you could talk all the crap you want. It's nothing better than being able to talk it and actually back it up and physically get into it with somebody and not go to jail for it. I kind of miss that.
That's the great Jordan quote from him. He says, yeah, it's easy to talk shit when you're up 5 points. Let's see you talk shit when the score is 0-0. Yeah. When you're down five.
Yeah.
What quarterback talk the most smack?
Wow. You know, these quarterbacks, a lot of them try to contain themselves because, you know, I always was kind of like, quarterbacks, whatever. You know, always the pretty guys, get all the girls. They get paid more than everybody else. But I played quarterback in a Kurt Warner's charity football, like flag football thing, and every celebrity football player had to play quarterback. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I throw a nice deep ball. I really surprised myself.
I like to see that.
But the short passes were a little tough. The touch passes, I put a little too much zip on them. That was a little off. Mm-hmm. But it gave me such a respect for the quarterback because stuff is flying. Like, people were crossing, coming from everywhere. And I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do? I can't imagine being in a game where all that's happening, yet these guys can actually hit you and they want to hurt you. So I have all the respect in the world for quarterbacks, but most of them try to stay really focused because they got to get up and call plays and do all that stuff.
Right.
Donovan McNabb would talk to you, you know, because he and I could do Chunky Soup commercials together. And, you know, so I would hit him and I'd be like, yeah, call your mama for some more Chunky Soup. You know what I'm saying? I would just be all on Donovan. He would talk back. Favre would talk. Tom Brady. Tom is no punk, man. Tom, man. There's a reason this guy is who he is, because he would get hit. You could say whatever you wanted to him, and he would give it back to you, like basically say, bring it, you punk. Or he would curse out his lineman if you were hitting him too much, like in the Super Bowl. He would, and I'm actually surprised, like, yo, you yell at people like this, and you think they're going to block better for you?
Wow.
I would let you get hit more.
That's amazing to hear about Brady, because he is kind of an enigma. It's really interesting. It's like there's something unknowable about Tom, I think.
Yeah, I think Tom doesn't want you to know.
Right.
Kind of keeps it that way. But when you're with him in person, he talks a lot of smack.
That's so great. I love that. I always like the quarterbacks who get decimated and then will like come up and pat you on the back. Nice hit.
Yeah, that kind of takes a little bit out of you. That's what you call psychology right there, man. You hit a guy as hard as you can, his cat pats you on the back. It's almost like he is completely taking everything from you. He just snipped you.
That's what I'm saying. That's the baller move when you see that.
Yeah, that's where you got to get your hands off me. You know, you got to act like you really like, get off me, even though inside you're going, oh, man, that was really nice. He's a sweet guy.
My boys and I are big football fans, and we like to debate on what's the hardest hit we've ever seen. And I think it has to be when Drew Brees hung Reggie Bush out to dry with this fluttery little, you know, sideline pass. And I don't know who took a running shot at him, but you know the head I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Reggie's like my little brother, man. Enzo, come on, baby. Daddy's working over here. Stop screaming. Reggie's like my little brother. He got that hit and I hit. I had to text him. I didn't know if he could read text after that. I thought his vision was going to be blurry for at least a good month. That was wow. And you asked him about it. He's like, he tried to hop up like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And then realized that his mind and his body weren't coordinated anymore. They were not in sync. So he had to just go down. You know what's so crazy? When you're out there on the field, like a hit like that, you'll be running over there and you still got to get hit. You'll even say to yourself, whoa. But you don't realize there's so many hits like that. And when you're watching the film and you're in the meeting room, the guy get hit, like I guarantee you Reggie's teammates laughed at him in the meeting the next day when they watched it, especially if they won the game. If they won the game, if you get like knocked out and your team won the game, when you get in those meeting rooms, coaches are winding it back. Guys like, run that back. And they're clowning you, dude. They're clowning you. And I've taken some hits, and each one, it doesn't really hurt sometimes, but you know it looks bad.
Right.
And all I'm thinking is, oh, my God, I'm going to get clowned. As I'm getting, before I even hit the ground, I'm already going, oh, my God, they're going to clown me on this. Oh, my God. And when you stop playing football, though, and we do one game a year, basically, that we go to, or this year, two, because we did the Super Bowl for Fox. But other than that, maybe one game a year we go to, and I watch guys get hit. I'm like, who is dumb enough to play football? This is like, they're hitting too hard. These guys are too big. What idiot would do this? And I realized that I was one of those idiots.
And one of those is putting the hits on people. You get hit and put the hits on people.
Yeah, I like the hitting because I have a better chance of doing a hitting than getting hit. But Reggie and those guys, man, I mean, the shot that they take, I don't know how running backs do it. Just bam, bam, bam. And no mercy at all. At all.
No. None. I'm excited to see these new stadiums. We finally got a big stadium here in LA.
Yeah.
I'm psyched.
That's the most expensive stadium ever.
But I got to tell you something. The one in Vegas looks badass. That stadium looks nuts. And it opens like a clamshell and all this stuff. It's going to be insane.
Well, all these, I mean, it's really amazing. The Giants, you know, the Giants and Jets built MetLife. That they opened that. I retired, then the next season they opened that.
Can we talk about MetLife for a minute? Let's talk about this. All right. So I'm friends with the Tisch family, and I'm like, Steve, come on, I know you have taste, and I know you have money, and I know you know what's what. And you built this thing, this nothing. It's nothing. And it's nothing.
You don't get any feeling. You have no feeling when you're there. It's just blah. There's nothing.
And nothing.
And what kind of stadium you have each level, 100, 200, 300 level. And in order to get from one side to over to that side, you got to get to an elevator and go down and go over and then go back up. Like, just make the dang on thing go all the way around level to level. What are you doing? It just makes no sense to me. I don't have any feeling when I go there and it's just like, okay, it's like blah. And when we had Giant Stadium, it was decrepit. It was beat up. We didn't have a facility. Everything we did was in the basement.
Ugh.
So it was like, it was old school, which I'm great. I'm happy for, because you know what? It's New York is rough, man. I'd go over there now when they have private chefs. And your skyline through these tall glass windows, you can see the skyline of New York. I would have been over there about 350 pounds looking at the skyline. I wouldn't give a damn about football. I'd have been too comfortable. And now, but back then we had a dude who used to cook breakfast on a hot plate.
Mm.
Okay. The hot plate used to sit in the same room that was our lounge, our media. When the media come in, they cleared out, put a podium where you give your speeches. It was our lunchroom.
You know, it was also Jimmy Hoffa's gravesite, apparently.
Exactly. You can smell him sometimes from that breakfast, man. But but the guy would cook freaking breakfast on two hot plates, and he had a towel to wipe out the hot plates But he would get so hot, he'd wipe his face, and then the hot plate, and you were like, dude, I'm telling you, it was primitive times back then. And then they built this new place that, like you said, I agree with you, has no soul, has no feeling. I don't understand anything. I don't understand why they did it.
I also don't understand when it's the bright, these, they're billionaire businessmen, they have the access to everything. And we know that home field advantage is such a big deal. Why wouldn't you build a stadium acoustically?
Yeah.
That you know is going to be loud. You design it. They build theaters that way. They build everything. Why? It's when they opened Levi Stadium, right?
Yeah.
They had like fondue patios and like white wine spritzers and beanbag lounges. And then meanwhile, you'd be in watching the game and you could literally hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
You'd hear a pin drop.
People too comfortable. Like a football game, it's not about that. I know they're trying to play to whatever they feel like the demographic is in the area, but they need to learn. Go to Philly where they got a jail in the basement. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And I tell you, it's my favorite place to play because they did, the fans gave not a damn, man. We would be on the bus. First of all, you would get like death threats in your hotel room. You know, they call it threatening you, which is crazy. Then you get on the bus to go to the game, and as you're cruising along, you come into the stadium with your police escorts, and you can see the stadium like, you know, 500 yards away. And the closer you got, you realize that the people, you go down south, and the worst you get is that people give you the thumbs down, you know, or they wave at you like, hey, we're happy you're here to beat our team or to play. You go to Philly, man, they're giving you the picking up, they're giving you the middle finger. And those are the grandkids. That's not even the parents yet, okay? I'm telling you, the kids. Then they would moon you.
No.
They would be mooning the bus, and then they moon you and put their butts up against the chain link fence. So you got like a pizza board ass. Oh. They're all cut. Oh. And it's like, come on, man. And they would throw batteries at you. I mean, whoa. They would. I remember we were playing a game in Philadelphia in an old veteran stadium. Which was the worst stadium in the world. The turf sucked. The stadium sucked. Everything. But it was my favorite place because the fans were literally 8 feet. It felt like they were 8 feet behind you, like on top of you. And we're playing a game. We're getting beat down by, I want to say, 14 or 16 at halftime. We come back. We tie it up. We go into overtime. And Christian Peter tips the ball. I catch it. And I run in for a touchdown.
Yes.
Now, and earlier that week, I actually went to a concert with Tiki Barber. Let me throw a few other people's names. I think Greg Camella, a few of us. We went to see Ricky Martin. Okay. So Ricky Martin would just come out there in the front of the stage and he would just go, just like pose, and the whole crowd would go crazy. So right. I said, oh, I get a touchdown. I'm going to hit him with the Ricky Martin. And they're all making fun of me because, like, I'm a D lineman. I don't touch the football. Man, I scored that touchdown and I hit him with that Ricky Martin.
Ooh.
They were dipping and spitting in cups. You know how you spit in a cup?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I just get hit with all that
oh,
crap.
No.
And it was worth every second of it, baby. Take that, Philly. Take that. Take that. Take that. As Puff Daddy would say.
That is... Oh, man.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Thanks to Quince, I can get high-end, versatile pieces at fantastic prices. They've got killer luxury essentials that are perfect for my wardrobe. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. One of my producers tried Quince, and here's what he had to say.
I'm really excited to revamp my closet with Quince. There are so many great options at pretty unbeatable prices. I'm really excited to try out the burgundy cashmere crew neck. I love the blue chore jacket. Maybe I'll throw some joggers in there. These are great options at pretty unbeatable prices.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/rob for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/rob to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/rob. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. I know that for me, people are out, people are about, people want to do stuff, and we want to do it, but it can be a grind. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Rob Lowe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Rob Lowe.
I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high-performance EVs. They're certainly out here, there. But when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it. And I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV. So the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6 to learn more. That is kia.com/EV6. Kia, movement that inspires.
So let's talk about Simple Jack. You played with Simple Jack for many years. I love Simple Jack. I love that family. I've been made an honorary Manning, so I can, because they give me more shit. Apparently, the Mannings have seen St. Elmo's Fire, like 75 times, and they quote
really?
From it. I've been to parties where the three brothers will sit there and quote lines from it, and you're like, what the fuck is Peyton Manning doing quoting? See, and then, you know, I had Peyton on my my Comedy Central roast.
Yeah.
He was my first person I invited, and he said, and he was so funny. But Eli, I'm bummed that it ended the way it did for him,
yeah.
Although his legacy is amazing, and there's nothing you can say. His legacy is what it is. But I just felt bad that he wasn't as celebrated as I thought he should have been finishing his career in New York.
No, I agree. I think the year before last, when they said, oh, he started all these consecutive games,
yeah.
Record for the consecutive games, record for the, he beat my record for the most games ever in a Giants uniform. And I'm like, you know, I love Eli. He was a baby when I first got there and won the Super Bowl, like I think his third year. And they took him out. Oh, we're going to look to the future, basically, was their excuse. And they take that and they end up making, and they put in Geno Smith. No hate for Geno Smith, but I'm like, okay, that's not the future of this team, and you know it. So if you're going to break a guy's streak who has started almost every game of his career for what you know is not the future, then why would you do that? It made no sense to me. Made no sense to me at all. And then to put him back in, that bothered me. Like, that bothered me. That was just wrong in every way, shape, or form. And someone should have stepped in and said, you know what? I know where you're the coach. That ain't happening. That's not happening.
That's where Robert Kraft is a badass.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft was like, you know what? You're not trading Tom Brady this season. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm. And Jerry Jones does it, but they seem to get his own way sometimes, which I'm not upset. He's a cowboy. So, hey, let him go. Keep it up.
But, yeah, exactly.
But then Eli, man, I tell you what, the nicest, greatest. I got a teammate as a dude. What you see is what you get. He is funny. He doesn't, you know, in public go out there and scream and holler and do all those things, because that's not his personality. But a drunk Eli is a fun Eli, I'll tell you that.
I know. Oh, I know. Believe me.
Yeah. Those Manning boys are some wild boys.
Best.
But they're fun, man. And I felt like Eli is a legend. I think people appreciate him now that he's gone.
Yeah.
And having Daniel Jones come in, I didn't mind seeing Daniel Jones play last year, because, to be honest with you, you're going to get Eli killed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the line and everything else, I mean, it just, they didn't, I felt at times they didn't necessarily give him everything that he needed around him in order to be as successful as he could have been. And, yeah, I keep telling him retirement's not bad.
Let me ask you this. If you were back in your day at your height and you were on an unblocked blitz and the running back was George Stephanopoulos, how Ooh. Far would you hit him into the next universe?
Oh. I don't know if I would want to hit him and drive him, like knock him back. I think with George, I would do what, you know, you hit him and you lift him. And then when you land, you put all your weight on
pile
him.
Drive
so him. That, yeah, you pile drive him so he feels his bones kind of all together.
Yes.
And your weight. And then you stand up and you say, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Are you okay, George? You know. It's so fun. For Rob, I tell you, it's so much fun. When you see a guy standing there and he doesn't see you coming and you are full speed and you're like, oh, baby, I like it like that. I like it like that. Oh, it's going to get, it's so much fun. And we can hear the art, because you don't hear anything when you're on the field. When you get up, when you get down there to like line up, 80,000 people screaming, but it's silent. Only thing you hear the quarterback. You can hear the guy across from you breathing. You can hear guys talking. You're talking. You hear your linebacker. Only thing you hear is within like 20 feet. But the second you hit somebody like that, all of a sudden it's like they cranked the sound up on your headphones and like the loudest they could do it. It's the best feeling in the world. Oh my God, it's the best feeling.
Do you remember what's your greatest hit?
My greatest hit was probably Gus Frerot.
Gus Frerot.
Yeah, Redskins. It actually was on a 2-point conversion.
Oh.
It would suck because I got a sack, but it doesn't count on a 2-point conversion. But I had set up this move all day long, this inside move, man. And it was perfection. And Gus is just standing there. He doesn't see me. And when I used to be violent in a sense, controlled violence, and not anymore. Yeah. I'm very docile now. But at that moment in my life, young and crazy, I was trying to take his spine and make it come out of the front of his chest. Like, I just wanted to run through him that hard. And when I tell you, I think I almost accomplished it. I almost accomplished it. It was the hardest hit, to the point where you hit somebody like that, you're like, oh, I know that hurt. Oh, it was fantastic. Fantastic. He's a nice guy.
Did he get up and
No, he didn't get up. He was there for a bit. He was down for a bit.
He was there for a bit.
He was down there for a bit.
I heard, is this true that when you were really little, like in 12 and 13, that your brothers or sisters were like, you're fat. I can't imagine that.
You know what? They called me fat. They were nicer than that. They called me Bob. And I didn't know what Bob meant. So like for years, I thought Bob was like a nickname. Like, okay, go Bob. And I'm the youngest of six. So I'm hanging out with my brother and all their friends. They're calling me Bob. I think that's cool. Like, I'm the young kid in this group. I got a nickname. I'm in. Bob meant booty on back.
No.
Big old butt. Yeah, that's what it meant.
So
it
big meant I was, old butt.
Yeah, I was a little chunky. You know, I was big boned, as I like to say. So, but I'll be honest with you, without them doing that to me, man, I would not have ended up where I ended up. I would not have probably played football, worked out, or done anything. Because that motivated me to, like, get in shape and still to this day, it motivates me to this day. I bought the Jane Fonda workout VHS tapes. I started doing those. Herschel Walker coming out of Georgia. I bought the Herschel Walker workout book, and I went to Heidelberg, Germany when Herschel was there doing like an appearance for Kodak overseas. And I met him when I was 13 and took a picture with him. And later on, I played with him with the Giants and against him when he was at Dallas and Philadelphia and Minnesota. So it's like, it was like full circle. But without them making fun of me, I would have still been a big bone dude walking around right now.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I know, look, the bullying is bullshit. We don't like it. I get all that stuff. But man, it's funny. It's like the Michael stuff we were talking about earlier. Sometimes how you handle that, it can really fire you up. I used to get the same thing. I wanted to be an actor when I was little, and I was in a place where there were no other actors, and people thought it was, you know, like only a girl would want to do it, and they used to call me terrible names and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this shit happen. And I don't know if I would be where I am today without that kind of adversity. But I got to say, the notion of you watching Jane Fonda's, did you wear those leggings that she had? Did you get some of those going?
You made my head full of follow. You know damn well I did not wear those leggings.
Oh, I don't know.
You know damn well I did not wear those leggings. Well, at least the ones I wore weren't pink. How about that?
Yeah, but exactly.
But no, I did not wear the leggings. That I did not do. But you're right, though. I think, you know, bullying is awful. I mean, we always talk about it, and it's like something in society, especially now, the cyberbullying stuff. It's just so much.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, how you handle certain things develops a certain character that you're going to need later in life about how you're going to handle adversity as well. And so all the people I'm sure who told you, oh, you don't do that. That's what girls do, are going, oh, Rob, that's my guy. I know how you saw. We talk about acting with him back here. Look at him. That's my friend. I knew he could do it. I knew he'd be successful. That's how it works.
It's true. Now, when you made the transition into television, I mean, I think people who aren't in entertainment don't realize the level of competitiveness that there is in our world too. We just can't hit each other. I remember so vividly having a meal with Magic Johnson in the day, and I remember telling him, I'm so envious that you can back down Larry Bird, and like you guys can go at each other, and one of you is gonna win, and there's no denying it. In our business, it's like, well, I think he's funnier than that one. Well, I don't. I think that was, and there's no appreciable way to go head to head with a peer, a rival, somebody in your league, whatever. And I was always envious that in sports you could do that. When you transitioned to entertainment, did you find that to be a different experience with your competitiveness?
Absolutely. I think I've had to change my outlook on a lot of different things and ways that I approach work, and I've approached relationships at work, because these business coming from sports, you especially football, it's a team game. Like, I have to learn how to be the best I can so I don't let other people down, and also at the same time, I want them to be the best so that we can all come together and have the ultimate goal, which is being the best. And it's not an individual thing. Where I found, I think, anything at entertainment, a lot of it's more individual because everybody's trying to figure out their career, get their career going. So it's not as if me being on your team is necessarily helping my career. I'm the one who's in control of my career. So I have to be more assertive for myself. And I just have never operated that way. And I still don't to this day. I mean, like you say, you know, there's this podcast. It's like, okay, how do you even go to school for this? How do you learn to do this? You don't. Yeah. You just talk to people. You have a conversation. And that, I think, has been the beauty of my post-football life, is that I've never done anything that I've necessarily gone to school for, that I've had to really go, oh, you know, I got to elbow this person and move that person and hope that someone, no, I'm doing it because it's fun. And then the opportunities just start coming my way. And that's what I've learned in the entertainment business, in the news business and everything else that I've done. You know what? you build a team, but yet you still got to understand that there are people with their agenda to get whatever they need out of it. And I get that in this business. It's not sports whatsoever. So I kind of come into everything with a different attitude because this is gravy on top of an already great life and a great career. So I don't look at it and think that, you know, if this doesn't work out, right, going back to my parents. Nah, that ain't right. happening, buddy. I'm good. You know, so I'm going to enjoy it as I have it and just keep going as long as I can.
Now, you are, I think, the hardest working person, one of them that I know. I mean, the schedule you keep during the season, I don't know. How do you do it? What's the logistics of it? I'm fascinated with logistics. Like, you're flying, you're sleeping here, you're getting, like, how do you do it all?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I got to say? This time in quarantine has really made me rethink how I want to live my life and what I want to do. Now, granted, I got, you know, stuff that I'm obligated to do. But at some point, I really want to take a pullback. I have to pull back because it's just this has made me realize that there is a lot of life to be enjoyed. And a lot of times I'm not really enjoying it because I'm always constantly on the go. So Monday through Friday, it depends on what time of the year it is. But Monday through Friday, GMA is every day. I'm up at 5 and then I'm done with that at 9. And then after that, I change and I go home. But then I have meetings for my production company, my clothing company, management. I've always got stuff going. So that's Monday through Friday, nonstop. Right after work on Friday, I have to go to the airport and go to L.A. because of Fox football. Yep. So the plane has become like the greatest place in the world to me. I get on there and I'm just put on the headphones, sleep, do whatever I want to do. Nobody bugs me. And I get to L.A. Friday afternoon, so about 4 or 5 o'clock. So I have a nice, you know, relaxed time. Saturdays I play golf pretty much every Saturday in L.A., my only day off in the morning. Then Sunday, we're in the studio at 5:30 until like 5 p.m., so Saturday is my really only day off, and every other day I have is long.
Long.
And my dad came to Fox with me one day, 5:30 in the morning to 5, and then we're done. He thought, oh, this is easy. I can do this every day. I was like, dude, let's get back on the plane and let's go back to the East Coast. So literally, I'm right back on the plane after the show. And I got to get back to New York because that's work Monday. So it's like, it's nonstop. And then a $100,000 pyramid.
Oh,
that's like a week of, you know,
$100,000 pyramid. Okay, so I'm going to go when we're done with this, and I'm going to look at you eviscerating Gus Frat on YouTube. But you are going to go on YouTube and watch me eviscerate the $10,000 pyramid.
What?
When I was 15 years old.
I'm on it, baby. Guaranteed, I'm on it.
Oh, it was, so I'm 15.
How do you get on at 15? Isn't like some child labor law, they're like work? Don't they like a certain age you got to be?
Well, so I was doing it, my very first big job was a TV series on ABC. And to promote it, they did a teen version of it for charity.
Gotcha.
But you were matched up with other celebrities. So I was matched up. I played against Tony Danza. He was the guy I played against. And and I went to the pyramid every round.
Wow.
Every round I played, got to the pyramid and then won the pyramid. And it was the best because I love that game. That's my favorite game. I grew up loving that game. And then Dick Clark was the host. Dick Clark.
Yep. Dick Clark, man.
I mean, the man.
I'm telling you. First of all, you just talk yourself into coming in and playing the $100,000 pyramid. It's gone up since inflation, you know.
Yes, inflation. So
you just talk yourself into getting an invite for that. But I can't imagine playing a game having Dick Clark like be there. When I grew to watch the game growing up, and then they had a few, you know, versions after.
Right.
But when they asked me to host it, and I said, you know, we're going to produce and host it, I said, okay. Let me go back and like really watch because I really got to know the game. And all I watched was Dick Clark. I didn't watch anybody else. And the one thing I learned from Dick Clark, first of all, he was so smooth.
Oh.
I mean, so smooth with it. Secondly, he was so smart in a sense that you could watch certain game shows and the host, you really got to break a lot. Like you got to carry, really carry the game because you got to have a quick comment. You always got to be on top of it. Pyramid is such a special game that the game itself is the star.
Right.
And you're just like, you're Magic Johnson. Like you're just handing it off. You got the celebrities and their guests that they're playing with. That's half the humor. It depends on who the celebrity is. I basically just make sure people at home know what's going on. It is so much freaking fun to do that show. And to do a show that Dick Clark did was amazing. And we're shooting it, and we were going to shoot it in March, and then this whole situation happened. Now we're hoping for August we can shoot the season of it. But it is so much fun, man.
It's the best. I remember Dick Clark, and this is amazing because he's the smoothest guy in the world, right? There's nobody better. But I will tell you that he bungled my introduction 5 times and we had to reshoot it. So he was he couldn't say my name.
Rob Lowe?
He couldn't say Rob Lowe. And then his ad lib, which made me laugh, was, "Why, you look like you're 6 feet tall." I don't look 6 feet tall at all. Maybe what he meant to say was I look old for being 15. But I come out, Michael, and I've got this like David Cassidy hair, like part David Cassidy, part Karen Carpenter looking.
Oh boy.
Shag. It's so fun. But
That will be the first thing that I'm looking at the second we're done. I'm all over that.
And the other thing, okay, since you have a production company, here's what I want you to develop and bring back, okay? Dead serious, all right?
Okay.
I want you to bring back the Battle of the Network Stars.
Oh.
But for real. Ooh. Like, here's the problem. Because I grew up watching this on TV and I loved it.
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
But it was legit. It wasn't... Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the fifth guy through the door in CSI, and it was the stars.
Yep.
So, and now because there's more than three networks, to really make it work, you'd have to have like the dude from fucking Game of Thrones and against, you know, Better Call Saul along with, I mean, you'd really have to do it. And I don't know if you could do it.
This is the thing, though. I would love to do it. I grew up watching that show. I always wanted to be on it. And they were legit. They'd be out there like kayaking and volleyball. They do everything. But now, I would do it. But how many stars? I found out, man, people are too like serious nowadays. Nobody wants to ever look like they can't do something.
Right.
Everybody's not great at everything. Be human. So I think a lot of people get too afraid to look as if they don't master something instead of looking like, hey, I'm out here just to just do my best and have fun. I used to love it. That was one of the best things on TV. And I don't know if you can pull it off because half the time now, all the networks used to do it together.
Yeah.
Now you got to get clearance from Peter to go over to Paul, to go over to Charles, and then Chuck. And then it's got to go through Susie, who then got to go through 12 publicists, you know, 3 lawyers. And 25 agents. And that's just to let you know, they're not going to do it.
Yeah. Spoken like, now I know your production company is legit. Because that's the number one takeaway from trying to run a production company.
It's crazy.
And we'll be right back after this.
Hey, listeners. Ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based... live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I got to ask you a question, man.
Yeah,
hit me. Okay, who's your favorite team, by the way, NFL team?
Well, see, here's the thing. Because we've not had a team for so long, I've had to develop other, you know, interests. And, you know, I'm very good friends with Jim Irsay, and Peyton played there. So I've got an affinity for the Colts. But on the other hand, I love New England. I'm a weird dude. Like, I can love the Yankees and the Red Sox because I don't live in either place. So I don't have that kind of, and I appreciate Yankees. I appreciate the Red Sox. Like, I'm one of those weird dudes that can do that. So in football, I'm trying to embrace the Rams now because they're here. But I didn't like last season much. I love Jared Goff. He's a good dude. Let's see how he does this year. It's kind of a mealy-mouthed answer, I realize, because really I'm a more fan of the league because I haven't had a team for so long.
Dude, I'm laughing inside at you right now because I was asking you that because I saw that meme of you wearing an NFL.
Ah, the league!
You're a fan of the league. I love.
Okay, that.
One of the greatest things ever, dude. I got to tell you.
How funny was that?
Please explain that to me. That is so funny, man.
I like when somebody said that I'm just a fan of Roger Goodell. That's why. That's my team is Roger Goodell. That's my team. So I'm working for Fox. Fox has that game. They want me to go to the game so they can cut to me in the stadium and talk about my new show. Mm-hmm. It's coming out. So that's the whole point. And it's great because I love football. So it's going to be great. It's a bunch of us going up. So they send a plane for us and we get on the plane and there's all this swag to wear. There is no team swag. None. It's only NFL swag. Now I look at that hat and I go, first of all, I've never seen that hat before other than on a ref. I didn't know that existed.
It's a cool hat, actually, though. I actually like that.
It's really badass. And I'm like, and this is the best thing ever because it's cool. I've never seen it. And frankly, had they had a team hat, I probably would have chosen one. But people were on my ass. They're like, that.
Dude, when I tell you, it is truly one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. You and your hat, it's just an NFL. And the memes and the comments were like first class.
And my NFL hat has a place in my office. It got so famous. It was one of those things where I was watching the game and my phone started blowing up in my pocket. Like crazy, crazy blowing up. And like, you know, as like a public figure, when your phone blows up like that, it's either something really, really, really good is happening or something really, really, really bad is happening.
Panic sets in. You're like, oh my God.
Enzo, stop, man.
What kind of dog is that?
A miniature golden doodle. That's about 30 pounds. And he wouldn't hurt a fly, but he's being tough right now. He literally sits by the door and looks out the back and looks for a cat that walks on the, I'm in a townhouse, so he sits there and looks for a cat that walks on the wall between my townhouse and a neighbor. And the cat, I think half the time he's seeing stuff. I don't know. It's never a cat. I see the cat once.
So good. Hey, I got a question for you. Who's the best celebrity, like in our business, golfer? I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. A lot of people say it's Timberlake.
Justin's my golfing buddy.
Yeah, here's good.
Play with Justin all the time. Justin's a good golfer. Now, when you say, you mean just actor business?
I'll throw it or into like sports, but it's kind of unfair.
No, it is not. Because
sure it
how
is.
How many sports guys can't play a lick of golf? Golf and sports in another sport means nothing. Absolutely not a deal. Some of the worst golfers I've ever seen have been some of the greatest athletes in other sports.
Charles Barkley.
Bam. He represents every sport ever about bad golfers. Charles. You know what's so funny with Charles? I love Charles, man. Charles said to me, the first time I ever met Charles at a golf tournament, he sees me, and I never met him. Big Barkley fan. And he goes, hey, you were on my shit list, but you're not anymore. And I'm like, we never met. How could I be on a shit list and we never met? He goes, well, it's the list of people who had great careers but never won shit. But now you won the Super Bowl, so you're off my shit list.
Oh, thank that's you. A great one.
Nice to meet you too, Mr. Barkley. But you know what? I've had some fun times with Charles, man. He is great.
It's no one. He's the fucking best.
He's an honest dude. He'll tell you what he's thinking. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He is who he is. And I respect that out of him. But I would say Timberlake's a good golfer. With Justin, though, if you're going to play golf, make sure you do it in the morning. Because he may take you like, 30 minutes to hit each shot.
Like, really?
Come on, Justin. How is the wind? The wind is blowing.
Oh, he's one of those guys?
Yeah. Dude, Justin's very deliberate. He takes a while to play.
You know what's funny? I go to a golf academy in Florida, Mike Bender Golf Academy. He's on Instagram and it's the best. But one of the things that I've learned is all of the greats, their pre-shot routine was very, very limited. And from the minute they stood over the ball, I'm talking about every great who ever lived, from the minute they addressed the ball, it was no more than 8 seconds.
Wow.
Like, go back and look at it. No one stood over the ball longer than 8 seconds. And by the way, the 8 seconds includes finishing of the swing.
But what's so weird about golf is when you think about it, I always think about football. Okay, I got 80,000 people screaming, hollering, the ball's moving, people running, I got a track, I got to get through all this crap to make a play, and you do it. Golf, I'm sitting there in outside nature, it's quiet, little ball sitting there, it ain't moving, nobody's screaming, they're actually telling people to shut up, and I can't hit the thing straight. I can't, it makes no absolute sense. It shows you how much you could talk yourself out of something because you usually don't hit a good shot because you kind of talk yourself out of hitting a good shot. But what's your handicap, by the way, since you're going all these golf lessons and your special instructors? I'm just curious.
I'm a 16.
I'm not even going to respond to that lie. You're not a 16.
I am. I'm a true 16 because I'm not consistent. That's the thing.
A true 16. Okay. We got to play. I got to see this. I don't believe it, Rob.
Well, when you're
if you were 16 handicapped, you'd have more wrinkles on your face. You don't have any wrinkles on your face because you're an excellent golfer. So don't lie to me.
Here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll put together. We'll do a Fox with Charlie Collier, me, you, when we're all back at it for sure. Because he's a stick, our boss at Fox.
Charlie can play like that?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it.
I'm going to end with this. All right. I need to know what your least favorite workout for those of you listening to hug Michael Strahan, to shake his hand is to encounter a granite statue. It is quite a thing. How are you managing with your busy schedule to continue to look like a block of iron?
Oh, I wish I did, man. But thank you for the compliment. I try to at least give it an hour a day every day. I'm like, okay, if If I work out an hour, I have 23 hours to mess around, do whatever I want to do.
Right.
Then it allows me to eat and drink and do all the other things I like to do.
Yep.
So, but work it out, first of all. And I love working out. I don't like cardio per se. I will ride the bike. Like I like the bike, the stationary like bike downstairs. I like that. I hate any kind of exercise that has anything to do with something you would do like on a football field. You do those CrossFit classes and they have you doing burpees.
Yes.
No. No.
You've done enough of
who you are. I don't care what you tell me. I will never do a burpee for anybody ever again. If you see me doing a burpee, somebody holding a gun to me. I'm not doing it. No.
Did you ever suggest other workouts other than the burpees, like perchance the Jane Fonda workout? Did you ever say like to the guys, hey, listen, I got my scene I'm doing back at my house alone.
Yeah, I'm doing those like side leg kicks and those
side leg. That's all we remember. It's like that was it was like the scissor. That's all we remember of the Jane Fonda work was this.
Yeah, you see, like, I tell you what, it worked though. Literally worked my ass off. Really did.
I'm going to pull out an old Betamax copy.
I have them.
No way.
Somebody gave it. I got it as a birthday gift some years ago. I have the VHS tapes. I don't have a Beta, but I had a VHS tape of Jane Fonda's workout. Still got them. And every time I see her, to the point now when I see her, I'm like, you know, she's like, I know, Michael. I know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Jane. I'm sorry.
Best. So good.
But my butt is tight because of you.
Yep. Well, man, this is the best. I this is the greatest. I'm gonna come visit you at the Fox when you guys are up and running. So you're on the lot, right? You're on the Fox lot.
Yeah, we're on the lot. So come hang out. We'll get some golf in too at some point.
Yeah, I would love that. 100%. This was great. You were a dream. I could sit and talk sports and shit with you another 5 hours.
I appreciate you, my brother.
But people listening have lives and they need to do things. These people who are listening are like, I now need to go and live a life.
Well, they're quarantined. They're not doing much right now.
That's true. Well, hopefully this thing's going to
hopefully
happen.
This is over at some soon, man. But who knows? But I will. You know what I am going to do in some of this downtime I have? I am about to go pull up Rob Lowe on the $10,000 pyramid as a 15-year-old who looks tall for his age.
Tall for and the hair. Just wait till you see the hair.
Hey, you got great hair, man. You got
it's
great
good
hair.
Stuff. All right, man. All right, thanks
brother,
so much.
I appreciate you. Anytime.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye, you guys.
Strahan could talk about anything and just put a smile on your face. I mean, I just feel so good every time I've spent any time with him. And I am a 16 handicap, and I'm going to beat his ass if we ever do play golf. And then I just hope he won't pile drive me like George Stephanopoulos. Thanks for joining me. I will see you on the next Literally.
You have been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe. Produced and engineered by me, Devin Torrey Bryant. Executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile. Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Stitcher. The supervising producer is Aaron Blaert. Talent producer, Jennifer Samples. Please rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.